It's good to be back again. I passed a few times up and down this past month from the area. I came by the church one morning to see if the pastor was in, but I found a little dog in the office. I told him about it. But trying to get some time to fellowship, and because we haven't met yet. And thank you. I see familiar faces again. And we've gone fishing, right? We had some good times here. I had some good times here, and really thank you so much. And thank you for your faithful support all these years that has sustained us financially in Greece, but also your prayers that help us spiritually to stay there. So we appreciate all that with the full meaning of appreciation. This morning, we'll go into how what time do we have? It's nine.
About a quarter after.
Half an hour. Okay.
Yes.
All right. And you see, we don't organize this. We just let the Spirit do it. Turn with me in the book of Matthew. I want to share something with you this morning. Chapter 20. If we read the first 16 verses. So follow in your Bible, because my accent might not say what is in the word. I usually preach in Greek. So, for the kingdom of heaven is like unto a man that is a householder, which went out early in the morning to hire laborers into his vineyard. And when he had agreed with the laborers for a penny a day, he sent them into his vineyard. And he went out about the third hour and saw others standing idle in the marketplace, and said unto them, Go ye also into the vineyard, and whatsoever is right I will give you. And they went their way. And again he went out about the sixth and ninth hour and did likewise. And about the 11th hour he went out and found others standing idle, and said unto them, Why stand ye here all the day idle? They said unto him, Because no man hath hired us. He said unto them, Go ye also into the vineyard, and whatsoever is right, that shall ye receive. So when was come the Lord of the vineyard, said unto the stewards, Call the laborers and give them their hire, beginning from the last unto the first. And when they came that were hired about the 11th hour, they received every man a penny. But when the first came, they supposed that they should have received more, and they likewise received every man a penny. And when they had received it, they murmured against the goodman of the house, saying, These last have wrought but 1 hour, and thou hast made them equal unto us, which have borne the burden and heat of the day. But he answered unto them and said, Friend, I do thee no wrong. Didst not thou agree with me for a penny? Take that thine is, and go thy way. I will give unto this last, even as unto thee. Is it not lawful for me to do what I will with mine own? Is thine eye evil because I am good? So the last shall be first, and the first last. For many be called, but few chosen. Pray the Lord will lead us into this study, which it needs a little explaining. The book of Matthew, as you know, is one of the trickiest books, the book of Acts, the book of Matthew, and the book of Hebrews. And of course, we have been taught the wrong ideas about the Gospels. Many think that this sermon is about the church, but this is but a series of examples that the Lord gives to the Jews from previous chapters to explain to them how the kingdom of heaven will be. And of course, we know in the book of Matthew, he distinguishes the two kingdoms, the kingdom of God from the kingdom of heaven. Now, many have confused the kingdom of heaven as the everlasting kingdom of God, but it's not. It's the kingdom of God which is from everlasting to everlasting. The power of God, his divine rule in the universe and time. But the kingdom of heaven, most of the times in the book of Matthew, it speaks about the literal reign of Christ on the earth. And this is a message to the Jews, mostly, because they thought they were first. Jews would come out from a country that have visited, and when they come to the border of Israel, they will take the shoes off and shake the dust off their shoes, not to defile Israel. Even Peter writes in his epistle, he says, because we're not sinners as the Gentiles, but we're Jews. So even to the believers, there's a distinction there, and that Peter didn't want to go see Cornelius. You remember, I'm not going to touch something unclean, Lord. And we have this mindset now. Many have tried to put this in the church age, but it doesn't fit. Also, the Beatitudes and the things that, the kingdom's laws that the Lord gives. And that troubled me for years. If I call my brother stupid, what council am I going to stand in front of? And why would I be, if I am secure in the hands of God by his grace, how am I going to face the fires of hell, of Gehenna, as he says there? So it didn't click. It didn't fit into the church age. So I realized that the Lord here is speaking to Jews. This is not a Christian kingdom that he's talking about. He is not crucified. He has not been resurrected. There's no New Testament yet. Even though we have these four books and we call them the New Testament does not start till Christ is crucified. Because, as it says in Hebrews, no testament will. Somebody lives their last will and testament. It doesn't come to effect unless the person dies. So the New Testament actually starts with the death of Christ. All right? So there's a lot of confusion about where these words belong, and people try to enforce them and put them into the church age. And it, of course, it becomes this example follows the example of the previous chapter 19, verses 16 through 30, where this young man, the rich man, that comes and says, "What should I do to inherit the kingdom?" And Jesus says, "Well, do the commandments." Well, I've kept them all from my youth. I mean, who has kept the commandments? All of the commandments, none, but this prideful young man. And this is the theme. Be careful, Jews, because many will be called from the different nations to sit down with Abraham. And the children of the kingdom, you will not sit down. Also following is it's another example of the vineyard where in the following chapter, in 21, where Jesus talks about the husbandman that left the vineyard he rented it out, and then he sent the servants to collect. And then they beat up the servants. And then he sent more servants. And then the son, he says, "I'm going to send my son. They're going to respect him." And what happens is, "Oh, there's the son. Let's take him out of the vineyard and kill him so it will remain ours." And that's a prophecy about the death of Christ dying outside of Jerusalem. But again, Jesus says, "So the kingdom of God shall be taken from you and will be given to others that will be able to give what is right back." In other words, it's futuristic for them, but God took the kingdom of God. In other words, the truths of God's revelation to us and gave them to the church, to the Gentiles. And God expects from you and I now to give back, or to, in other words, to take care of this vineyard that God has given us. The whole Old Testament, it talks about the vineyard of Solomon and the vineyard, how God sees his nation as a vineyard. And it's not strange that Jesus says, I am the vine, and so on. So coming back to this here, we know that there's always one true interpretation in Scripture, right? Every Scripture is written, and it has one single interpretation. So this interpretation in this chapter 20 fits in with the kingdom and warns the Jews that when I will return and establish my kingdom, some of you might not be in because you do not receive me. And Gentiles that don't know about me will hear it and they will receive me. And they will be, you have them as last, but they will be first. So this is the right interpretation, but we can have in Scripture, because all Scripture is given for our edification, we can have many applications. How can we then, we today, apply this passage for us? How can we say, instead of saying the first be last, look at it in some other way and be able to take something for ourselves today? And one of the thoughts, one of the applications that I have come up with the Lord gave me, actually, I think, and I hope you will agree with it, is the different hours. The householder goes out to hire certain people. And he goes out the first hour, and the third hour, the sixth hour, the ninth, even the 11th hour. Now, do you know what these hours are? It's from sunrise, all right? And you start from 6 a.m., the first hour, second hour, third hour is 9 a.m., all right? And so on to the 11th hour. So if you add from 6 a.m., 11 hours, where do we come to? About 5 p.m., all right? Right before the sundown. And that's how the day is counted in the Jewish hours. So, in other words, this owner of this vineyard went out to hire people to work in his vineyard. And he went out at 6 a.m. He found some people standing. He says, go to my vineyard. I will give you what is right. Work there all day. And then 2-3 hours later, about 9 a.m., he goes out. He sees some other people standing around, idle, doing nothing. And this reminds me, when I first came to the States, and I had never seen this in Greece, but when I came to the United States and I was down in Southern California, you hear about it in the next hour, I used to see all these people stand in the corners, in the crossroads, and outside gas stations, like groups, 5, 6, 10 sometime. And then somebody will come with a pickup truck or with a van, and a few of them get in and go, and I'm like, what's going on? And these are people, they were people that didn't have any work, and they were going out in the corners of the streets, and if anyone needed something, if a constructor needed a couple more workers in the day, he would go out to this on the street and find a couple of these people and hire them for the day. And I've never seen that in Greece, because we don't have that. Everybody has a job. At least we did. Now, in the cities, it's different, but when I first came and I saw that, wow, I said, this is almost like what the Bible, you know, says, that these people were sitting, standing idle, waiting for somebody to hire them. Why are you, even in the 11th hour, he says, why are you standing here idle? Why, it's almost, the day is almost done. Why haven't you? Because nobody hired us. He says, okay, come in, and I give you what is right. And imagine the excitement that when you worked 1 hour and you got paid whatever the guys that worked all day, you know, they got $100 in a day and you got $100. My goodness. You know, I will hide next day and I come out the 11th hour. So, but not every householder is good like the Lord is. What is this in our church? And I think, thought it as God calls people to his work, to his field, at any time in life. You, some of you, are in the first hour of your life. You're just starting life. You're the workers of the first hour. That means you have all your life ahead of you to work for the Lord. All right? So you're young. So if the Lord is calling you, and you might say, I'm too young, I have things to do, I have my life ahead of me and everything. But listen, when we talk about working in the field of the Lord, we're not talking about becoming a pastor or a missionary or leading in a church. We're talking about serving simply in your family, in your home, in your church. Something that you can do for the Lord. Doesn't have to be teaching the Bible. Not every member of the body is the mouth. Some others are the eyes, the ears, the hands, the fingers, the toes. For me to be able to stand up here, I need to have little toes down at my feet that nobody sees. But they're doing the job for me standing here. All right? They're part of my body. And boy, when you hit it in the corner of the couch, that little toe, your whole body pains, you know, hurts. You know what I'm talking about. So you, the young ones right now, it's like God has come early in your life and is calling you to go to his work. Will you come and work for him? Will you hear his call? And it doesn't have to be something great that is overwhelming you. Simple things. You can help whatever. You can ask the elders, you can ask the pastor, you can ask people, or you can see something yourselves. Maybe clean up something, maybe smile and say good morning to someone, maybe help an elderly person to come into the church, whatever it is. It could be simple as that, a little toe, but it helps the whole body stand. And it's a blessing. And the third hour are the teenagers. Well, now you're teenagers here. Maybe the first hour was the little ones that just left. But you are the third hour. All right, and then we have the fourth hour. And this is what God has done in his... If you look in the Old Testament, in 1 Samuel, who does he call? Samuel, 1 Samuel chapter 2. He calls Samuel. He's a boy. He's a little boy. And Samuel keeps answering like, here I am, Lord. Here I am, Lord. Here I am, Lord. So always responding to God's call. And God calls everyone because we're all members. If you know the Lord Jesus Christ and you have been born again and you belong to him, you're sanctified by God the Father and you're kept by Jesus Christ, as it says in Jude. You are his. He's calling you. He wants you to participate. Now, I don't know what he calls you to do. But you have to listen. Is God calling me to do something? And what is God calling me to do? What can I do? I want not to be idle. I want to be useful now in my life. And then he comes out. He gets David, which is a little older. Then he gets Solomon, which is a little older. Then God keeps calling people in the Bible, different ages, from little boys to grown up men to do his work. People that can't talk right. Moses was 80 years old when he called him. Caleb was 86 when he says, God, I want that mountain. Hebron, he says, go take it. He was 86 years old. He led the army and took over Hebron. It doesn't matter. In other words, my thoughts this morning is whatever age group you are, you're not done. Some of you in the 11th hour are not responding to God as those in the first and the third hour. Because you say, I'm too old. And they say, I'm too young. God still hires. God still hires. You're not done. If you're breathing air and you'll be able to think, God can use you. What can I do now? I can't go out in the streets. I can't. You have time to pray. You have time, and you have something that the young ones don't have. And this is good when teenagers are in the church, because this is my personal belief, and I practice it in my church, in our church, but it might not work here. But I think youth church has destroyed the church, because we're taking the teenagers in another way with other songs and other teachings, and then you bring them up when they're adults to join the church, and they can't because there's a gap. If the child can start reading from grade school, 7, 8 years old, I bring him into the sanctuary to the main hour. And they grow together with the older ones. So there's no gap. And what the 11th hour saints have to give is all your experience with God and all your experiences with your mistakes, which you can pass both to the young and say, be careful because this is what happened to me. Or trust the Lord because this is what the Lord did for me. You only have that. Nobody else. They don't have any experience with God yet. Their experience might be very superficial, maybe very early. But your experiences in life, you have all that wisdom to pass on. You're not wasted, you're not done. God still hires at the 11th hour. So no matter what age we are, this is my application, my thought application. It could be somebody else can preach another message from this application, right? But my thoughts came to this because people don't realize how important they are in the body of Christ. It doesn't matter. I think God calls every one of us to come to his service. And don't look at it as big. I've got to do something big. The smallest thing that you can do to serve, it's service. Let him decide what big is and what little is. Because somebody will come here this morning, the next hour, in depression, in problems and trials. And they might don't care what the pastor has to say about the great kingdom of God, because right now I'm suffering. And their mind will be in their suffering. They won't listen to the pastor. But if you see them and say, hey, how are you? I don't see you. Let's pray. You might offer more that morning for 5 minutes to that person than an hour and a half in the church. So you never know what it is. It's not just the pastor who's doing the work. It's all of you. You are the whole. You're not prosthetic limbs that we take off and they're dead. You are part of the body. God wants to use you. Find or open your ears and say, Lord, here I am. Here am I. What do you want me to do, Lord? I don't know. I'm going to ask. I'm going to look. I'm going to listen. But I want to do something. I want to do something for you, Lord, because I am yours. So these are my thoughts this morning. And I'm not going to say anymore because I think it's enough said. And I think I need to leave you alone with God to think and contemplate what God is telling you this morning. And I pray that you will be still and know that he is God in your busyness of life. Pastor.